Bear on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer here, breaking down the latest around the Chicago Bears. Jaden Daniels had his pro day today. The Chicago Bears were represented, but the Ian Rappaport tweet that comes out later makes us think that the quarterback position is probably locked up here, because I'll tell you what, if you miss out on one of these guys for Drake May, that would be very interesting. So got to talk about that. Also, Bears getting into the Hall of Fame game, which would give your rookie quarterback a little bit of extra time. What does that mean? Poles talked on McAfee, and I think that had some interesting comments there about what he wants to do, what he's trying to do. And is he talking a little bit too much? That's all the questions that we have on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. I love when we have these solo episodes where it's just me and you, Pat versus the people, whatever y'all want to say, man. I just love the time that we actually get to spend together on a show like this when we get to break down our favorite football team. Let's start here. Jaden Daniels had his LSU pro day today, and it feels like Jaden Daniels is the clear-cut number two guy as this thing is starting to head down the stretch here. Good pro day. I mean, it's a pro day. Yeah, I mean, he had a pro day. I'm not sitting here killing him for a pro day. I'm not sitting here praising him for a pro day. I'm not sitting here losing my mind one way or the other. But the report from Ian Rappaport that comes out after, I find very, very interesting, because there are six teams that are on the list of teams that the Chicago Bears could go out there and, or I'm sorry, that Jaden Daniels could go out there and visit with. And the Chicago Bears are not listed on that list. Ian Rappaport tweeted this out immediately following his pro day. LSU QB and potential top three pick Jaden Daniels is scheduled to meet with the Patriots, the Commanders, the Giants, the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders per his agent, Ron Butler. Daniels has not previously met with any teams. The Chicago Bears not being on that list all but confirms that Caleb Williams is going to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. If there was any doubt still left out there that maybe the Bears could still go a different route with the quarterback, go with a different Heisman-winning quarterback, that doubt to me is gone now. If you're not in on Caleb Williams coming to Chicago, you're just going to be upset all year. I don't know what to tell you. Like, he's probably going to be the next QB of the Bears. And I think that this is, right, like, the Bears were there. The Bears got to see him. The Bears are doing their due diligence. I love the fact that Ryan Poles is not sitting here leaving a stone unturned when he knows how important of a decision this is. Because guess what? Ryan Pace did that. We saw Ryan Pace do that. So the fact that you've got Caleb Williams pretty much confirmed to the Chicago Bears here at this point. Now, of course, they're not going to say it, but, like, he's not even Brian Poles isn't even going to the Drake May pro day. Not to say that somebody couldn't come back. Kerry Joseph is going to be their Bears quarterbacks coach. Not to say that he couldn't come back and say, hey, you know what? We got to give this May kid another look. We got a deep dive here. We got to figure this out, because what I saw was amazing. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. This kid is a proven guy. I mean, like, could he come back and do all of that? Sure. Maybe there's a change there. But barring that happening, Ryan Poles isn't even going to that pro day. His decision at the quarterback's position is made, and that's okay. I feel like you're bringing a quarterback into the best case scenario that we've ever seen. I would argue in NFL history, Ryan Poles is doing something that a rookie first overall pick has. I can't think of one. I've gone through my brain and tried to figure out which one would have been the guy. I can't think of a first overall pick. Maybe Andrew Luck. Maybe that's the best you're going to get. And I don't think that that team was anywhere near this one. So the fact that now you hear that the Bears aren't even in on seeing Jaden Daniels after this, I think that all but confirms that Caleb Williams, ladies and gentlemen, is a Chicago Bear. Congratulations. Go out, buy your Caleb Williams jerseys. Wait till he picks a number, though, because I want to see how the fight for 13 plays out. I would assume Caleb gets his pick of the litter, but he's also a rookie, right? Like, is Keenan Allen just giving it up? I would assume there's probably some, like, brand that's been built around him and his number. I mean, Tyler Scott doesn't have a shot. I'm sorry, Tyler. What number would you like, sir? What's your second favorite number? We already got a guy with that. What is your third favorite number? Tyler Scott might as well put on zero. Just put on zero. go be TSO. I don't know. Like, I got nothing for you. Like, it is what it is. But the one thing that I do love about all of this is that you also now see, knowing whoever the quarterback is, I believe that now it's a done deal that Caleb Williams is the quarterback of the Chicago Bears day one. By the way, we do want to let you guys know this episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6 right off of I-80-94. You're also bringing a quarterback in a position where best offense that we've seen put together for a rookie quarterback, everything that I mentioned, you got Swift, you got Allen, you've got DJ Moore, you've got Gerald Everett, you've got so many pieces in place, Cole Kmet. And now you get an extra week of preparation. Now you get an extra week to get ready for the upcoming season. The Hall of Fame game is going to be played in Canton. And the two teams that are going to be in it, the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. And I'm almost like, normally the Hall of Fame game is just like the, oh my God, get the game over with game. Like, let's be real. Like, it's like football's back and you're excited for like a quarter and a half. And then you go, oh my, I forgot about preseason football. Like, why are we doing this to ourselves? But you get an entirely extra week to try and build a rapport with an entirely new receiving core, with a entirely new offensive coordinator, with so many different offensive systems. While, yes, still the same system, different voice, different play calling style. And this is what I say. I know when we had Cap on the show, he talked about kind of, you know, the Bears run the same system as the Packers do. And why do the Packers run it better? It's all about figuring out how to call plays that way. And knowing what the play caller is doing, knowing what the play caller is saying. Jordan Love had 3 years to figure out how the heck Matt LaFleur called plays, because all he did was sit with the headset on and hear Matt LaFleur, how he called plays. Now you get an extra week to kind of build that relationship up between Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams, between Caleb Williams from Shane Waldron and the rest of the offense that you have out there. I like the fact that the Bears were actually in the Hall of Fame game this year. And I know it's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be like Caleb Williams is playing three quarters of this game, but I do think there's going to be maybe a little bit more than just a drive in this game, because I think that you're going to want to be able to get this guy kind of worked in with everything that he's got going on, everything that Shane Waldron wants to implement. You want to see that on the field versus guys that are actually trying to kill him versus guys who are at just going out there. Listen, y'all heard how me and J-Mac talk about training camp, bro. Like, we said sack about seven times before somebody actually decided to like put a finger on Justin Fields. I mean, so like, I know that yes, you're going to get a lot from training camp, but they're not getting a lot from training camp, right? Like, Yurko laughs about it. Everybody's laughed about the Bears training camp. It's basically 6 weeks of glorified walkthrough. I mean, like, take it for how you want it. So to see that in that game, and in a game where you're playing against the guy who could have been your quarterback right now, if you decided to go quarterback next season with CJ Stroud in that game, I think that makes this all the more interesting. And on top of that, so much stuff going on down there with Mongo going into the Hall of Fame, with Devin Hester going into the Hall of Fame, with Julius Peppers. I don't care. He was a Bear. He's a Bear. He's going in the Hall of Fame. Another Bear in the Hall of Fame. Count it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sitting here doing the whole, it doesn't count. It counts towards our Bears tally, don't it? On account towards Bears players in the Hall of Fame, count it. He's in there. So we got three Bears going into the Hall of Fame. Yes, I know he's going in there as a Panther, but it's going to be a great weekend. I think me and J-Mac are planning on going down for that. So that'll be an amazing time down there. And I mean, listen, just seeing those guys go in, seeing Devin Hester be able to finally get his bid into the Hall of Fame, I'm excited to be able to be in person and see it. So a lot of good vibes coming up, a lot of great times coming up. And I mean, listen, an interesting football game, at least one that goes in with a ton of narratives. And so that excites me for what we have coming up with this, man. If you guys haven't done so, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, man. Leave that 5-star review. You guys know what to do. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Let's keep this thing moving along, man. We had Ryan Poles yesterday on Pat McAfee, and he had some amazing, amazing quotes yesterday. that Bears fans kind of, it meant yesterday was a day to kind of like beat your chest as a Bears fan almost. Like you sat there and were like, yo, my president of football operations just told Arlington Heights yesterday's price is not today's price. Ryan Poles is telling RG3, you what the Rock used to say? You shut your mouth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, listen. He said he was pissed off about RG3's comments about the whole Eli situation, but it was because of why. And this is why I love the fact that we get to hear from Ryan Poles. This is why I love the fact that he is so open. This is why I love the fact that you get a GM that is willing to have real human moments with you. So many times these guys are just so, oh yes, well, you know, we've got to do what we've got to do. And that's one for the Gipper and we've got to make this thing work and we're going to figure it all out. And this is how you make it work. And like, okay. So you spent 15 minutes telling me nothing and I had to sit there for all of it. Or you get the opposite side of it, right? Then you get the Jerry Jones where it's like, listen, we're going to draft Ezekiel Elliott and we're going to figure this thing out. But wait a minute, dog. The draft is 6 months away. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be just putting the gems out there. Oh, or Jim Irsay. You know what I mean, I really like that Richardson kid. Can we get him? Can we get that Richardson kid? Why do they all have Southern accents? What's going on with that? But anyway, I just think that hearing Ryan Poles have an honest human moment, but still be measured with it. But when he talked about it, pisses him off because they were brought here to break the cycle. He cannot control the past. He cannot control what GMs did before him. He cannot control the ineptitudes of some of the people that have been in this building. He cannot control the history of the Chicago Bears. You know what he can control? The future. And that is why, yes, everything seems to be lining up perfectly on paper. On paper, Super Bowls are not won, right? You have to go out there and do it on the field. There's a lot of things that play into that, injury-wise especially, right? In the back of your mind always with a player like Keenan Allen. Cole Kmet was a guy that dealt with injury, Gerald Everett as well, right? Like, so you're sitting there always feeling like, okay, what if this guy gets hurt? What if this guy goes down? Anything can change. But that he realizes that he's been hired here to break the cycle of suck that has been in Chicago, this carousel of a hellish circle that we've been on, where all the horses are on fire and all the quarterbacks are gone by year three and all of the head coaches are gone a year after that. Like, this carousel of suck that we've been on for so long. The fact that you have a GM that is willing to acknowledge what the history of the Bears has been and willing to say that that's not what we're building here, and not just say it, but actually put it to action, actually sit there and put you in a position. Again, I keep saying this. People look at Ryan Poles like he's been here 10 years and he's been trying to figure it out the entire time and it finally clicked for him. That's not the case. Khalil Mack was here 3 years ago, guys. Khalil Mack was a Chicago Bear 3 seasons ago. He figured out how to get the San Diego Chargers to take the money off the books for that. All of a sudden, now we're sitting here and we're just like, hey, yo, wait, what direction are we heading in? Does this guy know what he's doing? It seems like he does 3 years later. It seems like he's kind of figuring this thing out. And I love the fact that he has no problems going on this show and saying, listen, in the position that we're in right now, there's nothing you can tell me that I don't already know. There's nothing that you can say that about the Bears history that impacts the future that I have. And I love the fact that he's willing to go out there and kind of stand on it. You know what I mean? Business is business. Stand on it. And he's making good business moves. This is not something that we've seen in the Bears history. And so for me, I look at this as a situation with the Bears where, okay, for the first time, it feels like the leadership is in place. It feels like the head of the snake is in place. Now we just got to build a team off of that. Oh, by the way, he's building the team, and the team looks like as the body is looking pretty healthy. This is why I say this is a time to be excited as a Chicago Bears fan right now. This is a time to be all in as a Chicago Bears fan right now, because when you look around the NFL, when you look around the league, I'll say this. How many times have we seen Ryan Poles take something that we have on this team positionally from the worst to one of the best. We looked at that linebacker room year before last, and we were like, ugh. We got Roquan, and then we got rid of him. What the heck are we going to do? Then you come on the other side of this thing. Now you're here at the end of the year where he spends all the money on the linebackers. Guess what? You know, we got pretty good linebacker room. I mean, Sanborn is our three. I'm not mad at Sanborn as the three. We got Edmonds and Edwards. That looks like a really good combination there. What is this coming from? Our DB room before Ryan Poles got here. Yeah, you had Eddie Jackson who was dealing with injury. Yeah, you had Jalen Johnson who was dealing with injury. But we didn't sit there and go, man, we got the DBs of the future here, boys. We started off last season, at least I did, saying, if you're not getting interceptions, I'm not paying you money. By the end of that season, you're talking about adding in 2 years an entirely new DB staff on the right side of the field. You got Kyler Gordon playing in the slot. You got Jaquan Brisker as your opposing safety right now, and you're able to go out there and get Tyreek Stevenson last year. Oh, yeah, by the way, you added Kevin Byard to this team, who was a ball-hawking menace, and then you already had Jalen Johnson, who, as you played the game throughout the year, you sat there and put yourself in a position to say, I am willing to pay this guy because he feels like he's a top five DB in the NFL. Oh, by the way, we got him for less than $20 million a year. Annually, I should say. And now you look on the offensive side. He spent a season and a half, 2 seasons building up things on the defensive side. Still got to build that lineup some more, right? Still want to see somebody opposite with no Jadeveon Clowney on the market now. I would assume that you're going to draft somebody, and that makes this very interesting. But I also feel like you're in a great position to go out there to draft somebody, right? You're sitting at 9. Somebody's going to be there. And there's a ton of options, and we're going to talk about that in our road to the draft today. There's a ton of options there that you can go to add on the defensive side. Oh, by the way, on the offensive side of the football, your wide receiver room went from being DJ Moore and the guy who caught a touchdown as a wide receiver before him now plays in Miami. He did that in week 2. That was Chase Claypool. It's the last time a wide receiver caught a touchdown outside of DJ Moore. You went from that to now having literally two of the best wide receivers in the NFL on your team and having what I would say is a top six wide receiver duo in the league right now on paper. Got to do it on the field, but on paper. Oh, by the way, you might add a young piece into that. You got to give Ryan Poles his flowers. I'm sorry, if you're upset with it, like even the Justin Fields trade, I get it. Fields fans, we're all upset, blah, blah, blah. I'm over it at this point. I'm over it. It's time to look to the future because the future looks way better than even the 7-win team that we had last season. And I think you have so much opportunity for this year, and that's why our road to the draft today brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. I want to present you with this scenario, and I want you guys to respond in the comments. Let me know in the comments below. Appreciate you guys for showing love. I want to present you with the scenario that no one seems to be talking about. How confident do you believe the Chicago Bears are in Ryan Poles, or I'm sorry, in Caleb Williams? How confident do you believe Ryan Poles is in Caleb Williams? Look at the moves that he's made, how he's built this team out. How confident do you believe that he is? If you believe that he's as confident as I think he is, why are we only talking about adding draft capital by trading picks this year? You miss out on Jadeveon Clowney. Now you're in a situation where you might not be able to go out there and add that edge rusher through free agency because they're all gone. Why wouldn't you be in the mindset of trading some of the draft capital that you have next season if you believe that Caleb Williams is going to be this level of player? Because there's some players on the list in that second round that you're not going to have a shot at right now unless you trade back from 9. Your next pick, the Bears sit 9. Their next pick comes in the third round at 75. That is a lot of players coming off the board. If you believe in Caleb Williams, why wouldn't you be willing to trade some of the draft capital that you have next year to get some of these guys here? because there are some dogs on the list that I think you can make a trade for. I think right now at 34, where the Patriots sit, if you package possibly that second round pick next season that the Panthers traded to you, and the Panthers are going to suck. I'm sorry. There's no way they could figure out how to get out of what they built. Poor Bryce Young. My God, somebody save him. I'm glad he did what he did this year, though. Keep that up. But as long as we have the pick, you keep it up. But why wouldn't you trade that pick, that second round pick that the Panthers have, maybe a future fourth, next year's or the year after that or whatever it is, and why don't you trade that with the Patriots, go get a guy like Keon Coleman? Because now, guess what? To me, with that ninth pick, you've put yourself in a position where you can trade back. There is options there. But if you've got one of those elite edge rushers there, if Dallas Turner falls to you at nine, and for some reason the Falcons don't end up taking him, he falls to you at nine, why wouldn't you sit there and take Dallas Turner when you know you don't have somebody rush opposite Montez Sweat? Why wouldn't you sit there and take Roma Dunze if he's the guy that's on the list when you know that you're Keenan Allen, maybe you're getting, what, 2, maybe 3 years more out of him? You're going to want that long-term answer next to DJ Moore. I think there's some pieces on here at nine that you may not be able to afford to pass up. I think there's some pieces on here at nine. And yes, listen, you could trade back. I think you could trade back into the 20s and get a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson. I think that there's some really good names later on in this first round that you could still go out there and get. But why shortchange yourself? And if you believe in a player enough, why are we sitting here not having a conversation about trading that second round pick next year and maybe a future first? Because if you believe in Caleb Williams that much, and you look at this draft, there are pieces this year that can help Caleb Williams do quite a bit. So let's say, right, let's play it out. Caleb Williams won, let's say nine, either Dallas Turner or Roma Dunze is there. I'm not leaving those guys on the board. I'm taking one of them. So you're either helping offensively or defensively. I don't have another pick till 75. I'm trying to get back into this second round. If I can get back into this second round and add a piece like a Keon Coleman or a Lag McConkey, that now means that I've gone into this draft. I've added my quarterback. I've added an edge and or a wide receiver there, right? No, by the way, you could also trade back in and probably get a guy like Chop Robinson if you really needed to. Yeah, I mean, like there's still some options at the edge as well. There's still some options on the defensive side if you go with one of those other pieces. I think that would be a excellent move that the Bears could do one way or the other. I take Keon Coleman or I take a Chop Robinson in that second round. Now in the third round, I can take Cedric Van Pran with my regular pick. Or maybe in the third round, I trade back because Van Pran's kind of falling down the list. But right now, the Bears have put themselves in a position where you have a starting center who they believe is Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton as his backup, who's been a starting center over the last 2 years. That is a great scenario for a young center to come into and develop and learn. That is a great scenario for a Cedric Van Pran to try and figure out what the heck he's got going on at the NFL level. And you're not sitting there saying, oh, well, it's all on you, kid. Figure it out. Again, Ryan Poles is building situations for guys to succeed to be easier over it being very difficult not to fail. And then with your fourth round pick, I mean, listen, you could have pick of the litter there. Like whatever you want to do in the fourth round, move up, move back. Whatever. I mean, like there's so many options there. But now you're talking about adding five possible players to this year's draft that can impact Caleb Williams right now. I think that is the best case scenario for the Chicago Bears moving forward. If you believe in Caleb Williams, how I think the Chicago Bears believe in Caleb Williams. And so for that reason, I mean, listen, I would love to see the Bears look at this. If you're all in, let's be all in. Let's not be half in. No diddy. Let's be all in on this. Because I think that you've got a young man in a great situation, but why not make it better? Why not make it long-term? Those are the questions that I want to see. I want to know how you guys feel. I want to see answered. I want to know how you guys feel in the comments below. Let me know down below. That was our Road to the Draft brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. Let's finish it out here. This is an interesting question that EO brought to us. on the podcast, pre-show prep, stuff like that, where he asked kind of, do you feel like Ryan Poles is giving us too many of the secrets? Like the cards are on the table with Ryan Poles. Do you feel like, because we've kind of known a lot of what he's wanted to do. It's felt like very early on last year, right? We kind of knew this guy's probably going to trade this pick. This year, it felt very early on. A lot of people had this and were hearing this, and some of us just didn't want to believe it, but it was like, they're probably moving on from Justin Fields. Is Ryan Poles showing too much? And here's my response to that question. Here's my thought process on it. Over the few years that we've had Ryan Poles as a GM, year one, you had no choice but to realize he was going to tear everything down. It's why he came here. It's what he said in the interview. It's what he talked about. He said, we're going to build a competitive team with culture. Yeah, that's what AK says. How'd that team look? That basically means we're stripping this down. And they did. And they got the first overall pick. They won three games that season. They get the first overall pick. What are you going to do with it? We need more picks. We need more picks. We need more players. And I drafted Velus Jones last year. That did not work out. So you got to, yeah, I mean, how about send me DJ Moore? I wanted Brian Burns. You didn't want to send me Brian Burns. Now you lost Brian Burns for nothing. How about you send me DJ Moore? You could have had DJ Moore with your young quarterback. I was going to leave you with your dignity. But no, how about you send me DJ Moore? You get DJ Moore. You get Tyreek Stevenson. You get Darnell Wright. You got a future second. You're feeling great. Feeling great. You look at this year's draft, trading Justin. Seems like a no-brainer to take Caleb now. Seems like, and most people believed it a lot of the way, that this was going to be the outcome. How could you not take Caleb? How could you not go get Caleb? I think that Ryan Poles in his 3 years here has just been in situations where the answers were just obvious answers. I don't think that he's showing too much. I don't think that him going on the press conference is talking too much. I think that he's done as best as he can. And I think he's done a pretty good job at keeping what he can close to the vest. And the moves that he does need to make in silence, he does. He still hasn't said he's drafting Caleb. We just all kind of are looking at all the other pieces around. We're using context clues at this point. It's like, well, you're not going to talk to Jaden Daniels after his pro day. You're not going to go out there and go even see Drake May. You're going to send one of your coaches to go see Drake May. Like, okay, you're probably taking Caleb. And so I kind of look at it in terms of the answers have just kind of been the easy answer to do. I think the surprise things have been the surprises. For many people, not taking Jalen Carter was a surprise. Moving back one more pick, getting an extra pick, that was a surprise. Now, it wasn't a surprise to me because I was like, I don't think we got the infrastructure to take this kid. It'd have been more fun to talk about. But now I look at Darnell Wright, who played half the season with one arm and basically a loose shoulder on the other one. I love the kid. I love that you went and got him at 10. I love that you took that chance on the offensive guy. Oh, by the way, building an offensive line for the future of your quarterback. I love that. You waited till halfway through the season to say, all right, well, we got to figure some things out. And we've got some teams that are blowing stuff up, which means, yeah, I may have to pay a price on some of this, but I'm going to get a nice young player that is going to be dominant for years. And you go out and get Montez Sweat. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw Chase Claypool coming either. I guess I kind of predicted that, but it didn't work out. So I don't like claiming that one. But it nobody saw Montez Sweat coming. That was a surprise to all of us. Whoa, Montez Sweat. Wait, like we kind of knew once that they were in on one of them, but didn't it feel like Chase Young was going to be the one? It kind of felt like, yeah, oh, we're going to get the more broken down version of the two. And did it cost a little bit more? Yeah, it did. Cost you a second round pick. That second round pick going to Washington this year, going to be a pretty good player. But I'm not mad at having Montez Sweat sitting back there. Pressuring the quarterback. I'm not mad at the second half that we saw from this defense. I'm not mad at the pieces you've given Flus. I think Ryan Poles has been very strategic about when he shows his cards, how he shows his cards. It's just at some point you have to realize that there are guys that can sit down at the table and count cards. Sometimes you know what's in the guy's hand because you can see everything else around the league and say, well, guess what? He's got four aces because none of y'all have them. So I think that that's kind of the that's what we're seeing from Ryan Poles. And when we need him to be the guy that keeps things under the hat, keeps things under the belt, keeps things quiet, he can be. He doesn't need to beat his chest every time. He doesn't need to go out there and say, listen, y'all already know what it is, right? Let Kevin Warren do that. Kevin Warren out here flexing. We the biggest landowner in Arlington Heights and they want to play games. It is what it is. Love it. Let Kevin Warren handle that. I think that that is kind of what you're going to see from Ryan Poles as we continue to move forward, as the team gets better, because when you're in a situation where you're picking 28th in the draft, first off, you only kind of care what they're going to do because it means you won a lot. Like, I guarantee you, my hope is that next offseason is incredibly quiet because we're not doing anything major, because we look at this during the season and go, wow, we had a team that was able to compete in the playoffs this year. We're going to need to add some minor pieces, but it's not going to be anything crazy. I hope we never have an offseason like this again, because my God, some of y'all was wilding on Twitter. Some of y'all still wilding on Twitter. Mad about this man having a pink phone. Stop worrying about dumb stuff. Let him throw 40 touchdowns and two interceptions. Y'all going to be sitting there right with y'all pink phone case, sitting there waving it in the air, screaming, we are the champions with your flashlights on. Shut up. Bunch of babies from the 60s. Hey, man, appreciate y'all for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that five-star review. Y'all know what to do. We'll be back tomorrow. Courtney Cronin on with us tomorrow to get more insight from what we heard from the owners' meeting and, of course, an update on any news that breaks. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page for, well, I guess just for me. It's just me here today. Wow. Yeah. For Pat the Designer, I'm Pat the Designer. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear Dine, one love. Peace.